Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Rolls to his right, pocket collapsing, comes back to his left, heaves it down the left sideline for Shavers in the end zone for a touchdown. A broken play goes for six.
It's so freaking cool. The guy just continues to work extremely hard. He's never once complained, you know, working from practice squad to now making legit plays in the NFL.
Tunnel screen. Ty Johnson threw a hole and up the sideline. 40, 35, 30. It's a foot race. 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Ty Johnson. Back to pass. Steps up in the pocket. Looks for Cook on the wheel route. And he's into the end zone. The Cook is in the kitchen.
Guys make plays. Shaves made a heck of a play. Ty Johnson down the sideline just outrunning people. And then Jimbo making a heck of a catch for that touchdown there too. So it takes everybody.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Pretty safe, I think, to say that of these this continuing discussion we have this season before and after games about winning Bills scores that would annoy you. 44-32 isn't one of them, probably.
No.
Is this what we all wanted?
I think
bring back those turnovers, baby.
I think so. Chaos. I think we wanted some chaos.
Let's even maybe hope the defense is bad so I can have to go harder on offense.
You might not have to hope.
No, you might not have to hope.
It might just be bad.
It might be the reality.
Yeah.
Football Monday on WGR brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Really, though, isn't this kind of what we ordered at the restaurant here for the last month, year, 3 years, whenever it started? Mm-hmm. That, like, it's basically when Brady took over, mostly, that the Bills went more run heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And here was a game where they could not afford to do that for two reasons. They couldn't run it, and they couldn't stop the Bucs. So go get it. I don't think, though, how they played was really an accident or a byproduct of all that. I think there was some of this that they wanted to do.
Oh, I think that's right. Yes.
New personnel.
Yeah. New personnel, new receivers specifically. And maybe the first clue was last Monday when Brady talked about regretting not trying to throw earlier in the Miami game. Sort of feeling like they had forced the run when Miami was begging them to throw it over them, and they really didn't get the hint. And they ended up, you know, kind of having a futile three quarters, really a futile afternoon in its entirety. You could maybe have arrived at they're probably going to throw it on this team. But, you know, I don't know how optimistic I would have been thinking about what the results would be, because they haven't been able to do that, even when they've tried. And the way it started, even, it didn't start great. Like, oh no, the blitz! You know? Like, what? I've got two-hand chest passes out of my own end zone for tiny little interceptions, and like, oh no. This is a guy with a reputation, Bowles, the coach of Tampa, with a rep for exotic and heavily blitzing. And so I was pretty nervous about that, but they found it. They got there. They picked that stuff up the rest of the game, and I don't think Tampa was as aggressive as they started, maybe, in the game.
Well, in terms of blitzing?
Yeah.
Maybe. I think the Bills are pretty lucky that coaching-wise, they're not. Game management-wise, they're not aggressive at all. Even Allen throws that, I like how Matt Waldman termed it, that inbounds pass interception.
Right.
In the beginning. And they just ran up the middle twice and then kind of a low percentage pass play. That's the best you got? Don't these teams know who they're dealing with when they play the Bills? Don't they know who they're dealing with? They really don't. Like, Mayfield, he's cool. Like, he is good and tough and just, you know, he's not running, but now he's running for touchdowns.
Right, he didn't run in weeks.
He's a guy that, I don't know about the whole thing, but you can win with him. Don't you think? Like,
oh, yeah.
They're depleted at receiver.
Yeah, I don't think he's not, you know, I don't think he's ever going to be. He had a little dalliance with the MVP odds earlier this year, but that's cooled off. I don't think he's ever going to reside in the top tier of quarterbacks in the NFL, but he is definitely a guy you can win with. And not in like an Andy Dalton kind of way.
No.
You know, like I think he's someone who's capable of doing really big things.
He might be top 10.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
So that's good enough for most teams. I mean, do the math, I guess. Most of the league would trade for that, would prefer to have Mayfield at quarterback. So I've got that, but couple of wimpy punts and just, I didn't like that at all from Tampa. This is not at all, of course, if I have to say so, a criticism of the Bills, but they get that pick right away. And yes, this was a game where they ran through the Bills quite often. So did they just thought they could do it? I mean, goal line is tougher, though. I don't know. Not impressed. They did the little things wrong in this game that sometimes we end up harping on with the Bills, but the Bills mostly don't. They mostly don't get undone by doing these kind of little things wrong more often than their opponents do. That's not the biggest takeaway from this game.
They
punt late was awful.
By Tampa, yeah.
And a half minutes, I'm down two or three at near midfield, and I'm just going to punt. Why? What do I think is going to happen?
I mean,
I can't get a stop.
I think you know the answer to that.
It's just so bad. I went out for like an hour after I left post game last night, and I ran into Bucks fans.
Really?
Yes.
All right.
They live on the island, apparently.
What?
It must be the water. Huh. They live on the island, and they're Bucks fans. And we started talking about the game. I'm like, you know what? If I were you guys, wouldn't I be ticked at this loss? I mean, it was a fun game and you were close. But
had nine lead changes. Yeah.
Would this game bother you? And they're like, absolutely. And then I was thinking of a tweet I saw from Maggie Gray, or was that from this morning? Whenever. There was a tweet that I'm thinking of it now, where she asked people if they enjoy watching their favorite team. Like, if you're a Tampa fan,
yeah,
it might have been a fun afternoon, but.
Yeah, I don't know.
I just like.
I didn't enjoy it most of yesterday.
No,
I was really tense most of yesterday, and I don't like admitting that, but that's what, you know, losing to Miami will do for you. You start thinking like every crisis is, because this era of the Bills has been mostly I'm just expecting them to get it done when I sit down to watch a game, even if they're losing. I just think, all right, you know, they'll just do the thing, and I'll have to talk about how bad they were, but they won. That's basically what I'm often thinking when the game is not, you know, in hand for them. But you lose a couple and you've got a consistent problem in one specific area, passing game, a pretty significant area to be deficient in. And that leaves me feeling pretty tense. You know, until the Bills pulled away in this game at the end, I was uneasy. So I would imagine Bucks fans, I mean, they didn't get to pull away at the end. They ended up losing in a game that they were ahead in the fourth quarter. So I would be annoyed, I think, probably.
Not a huge game, although they are only now a half game ahead of Carolina somehow in the NFC South. 803-0550 for your thoughts, Football Monday. Does this game, even like to a certain extent, satisfy to all the people who are all the time annoyed with how the Bills play? So they benched Coleman, and it didn't take long at all in the post-game press conference for Sean McDermott to get questions about Keon Coleman. He didn't really want to say that much about it. Ultimately, later in the press conference, this is last night, he says that the ball's going to find the guys who work the hardest, you know, words to that effect. And so they're playing on Thursday night, 44 points. Allen, you know, three passing, three rushing. Do you think they'll do anything?
And all the guys that you could, I mean, Shavers has been playing pretty regularly anyway, but I assume he got more reps because of no Coleman in this game, and he paid you off. Davis paid you off. Even Mecole Hardman, he made a mistake, but he also jump-started you with a kick return early in the game and, you know, did the thing, like ran one deep pass that was missed. But did you happen to notice, I was looking at already, you know, the cut-ups are making the rounds, that play, Allen throws it to Hardman, he's open enough, so he ignores Shakir. You want wide open? Watch the overhead shot of that play. Because Shakir runs like a crosser about, I don't know, about halfway between the line of scrimmage and where Hardman ends up, and there is no one around him for miles. Because the speed, like Hardman comes streaking up the field and pulls a second DB out of that area to go with. Now, I don't know if the guy noticed where the ball was going by then or what, but it's just the speed. I think they got paid off by making the changes they made, specifically Coleman getting benched and Davis getting elevated and Hardman being in the lineup. We'll see if he's healthy. Short week here, and he did injure himself and make a pretty big mistake. But I'm not eager to run Coleman back out there right now.
Why would they do it?
Right. I mean, unless it's just simply numbers and he's the next guy that would be up if something is wrong with Hardman.
Man, it was tough yesterday with McDermott. He was asked who wouldn't have played if you'd played Coleman, and he wouldn't answer. Like, he just, well, I think you saw the game. Like, simple question. Maybe he doesn't want to answer it, or else he just would have. But who wouldn't have played if you had played Coleman? Well, I think you saw who was out there. What's the answer, though? I wonder what the answer is. It's like Hardman plays.
Either Hardman or Davis, I think, are the guy. Because Shavers, I guess maybe Samuel, but Shavers maybe is Samuel. In. Shavers is locked. He's locked in because he plays all those special teams roles, and there's not another receiver on the team that does that. So he is not coming out. With or without the touchdown catch. But now with it, I mean, it's all the more. He's going to be in the lineup. So I think it's one of the two guys that came in, or Samuel.
I don't know if this is right, but for all of this receiver stuff and passing game stuff, it really could not have been much of a better day. Because not only did you light it up, but you did it through different guys. And if you look at the route percentages from yesterday, you know who ran the most routes for the Bills yesterday? Knox. Oh, okay. Like, would that not surprise you to hear, like, Knox was the most frequent route runner on the team yesterday? 82%. Shakir was 68%. Nobody else was over 50. All the other guys were here and there. Shavers, Samuel, Davis, Hardman. Is that the whole list? I think that's the whole list. All of them, I saw this from J.J. Zacharyson today, each one of those guys, those four guys, ran either 15 or 16 routes. We always talk about this, wonder about this kind of thing with the Bills since they got so good, is how much of what they're doing is sort of a test balloon. We want to see this player try this. And, I mean, a couple of these touchdowns are, I don't know if you'd call them broken plays necessarily. The Shavers one has got to be called that.
Sure.
Johnson, maybe not. But sort of like, you know.
Yeah, no, that's Allen, a design. That's a design play. The Cook play is a design play. The Johnson play is just a, it's a swing pass, screen pass. They got receivers out there to block, and it worked perfectly. Yeah, Shavers, though, was a kind of a scramble.
On Shavers, Allen said, I think, after the game, he probably should have thrown the ball to one or two other guys.
Yes.
On that play. So you got to see what all these different players can do. Davis for the first time back, and then, I mean, Shavers has been playing, but still elevated role. Samuel and Hardman for the first time ever. So you get to see some of what we can work with if you're the Bills, you know, going forward. But Knox at 82%. No Kincaid.
Right.
Remember him?
Yeah.
No Kincaid in this game either. And that makes sense that Knox would be on top here. So, or at least in terms of tight ends. And, you know, credit to me for starting Jackson Hawes in a – in a league.
Oh, good work. Yeah.
0.0.
Yeah. I don't even think you got a target.
Yeah. Well, you win some, you lose some. Usually you lose. 7-3 now. Huge win. If it's a loss here, then we're kind of in Chiefs territory now. It's like, all right, well, we're almost to Thanksgiving. Now what? Would you forget about the division? Kansas City. 9-2, 5-5. Is the difference there. And you've got the Chargers in between for what it's worth. So at what point do you sort of give up on the division? I think a loss yesterday would have gotten me there. Now it's just get in time. 6-4. Mm-hmm. And I've got the Chargers and the Jaguars and the Chiefs and the Ravens and the Steelers and the, I mean,
except
the first
place
team,
right.
Even Houston. Like, I've got a lot of traffic. But with this win, I'm not there at all.
Yeah, I'm two games clear of the teams that are out right now is where I am. So if I
and I've beaten two of them.
Right. If I don't catch New England for the division, I'm at least in, you know, as long as I don't end up on the rocks here again, they're in a pretty decent spot right now. Not ideal, obviously. You'd want to be in first place. I mean, last year at this time, we were getting ready to switch to Glide as far as the division goes. I mean, they clinched on December 1st. We're only a couple of weeks out from that, for crying out loud. That's how well last year went. So you still have to catch up, but, you know, the only way you can do this is keep winning and hope you can get to week 15 with a chance to, you know, at worst, tie them, maybe find your way to pass them, but with their schedule, that doesn't seem real likely that you could pass them in week 15, I mean.
No, but that should be a great day, New England. Mm-hmm. That rematch, that's really good. I mean, there's going to be a lot riding on it. First things first is this game, Thursday night in Houston. C.J. Stroud, there should be news on that any minute on him. As of earlier today, reportedly had not cleared concussion protocol, but they practice today and tomorrow, and there'd still be time for him mm-hmm. to do so and start against the Bills. Does it matter?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, he's the most talented guy they've got. I mean, I know it's been a lot bumpier since his rookie year when he kind of really took the league by storm, but if you're asking me, do I care whether I got to play C.J. Stroud or Davis Mills on Thursday? I'll take Davis Mills, thank you. So yeah, I think it matters. I'm not exactly on edge. There's nothing I can do about it. There's no need to be intense about it. But I'm very curious to see what his status is as the week unfolds.
Get to know Woody Marks, I guess. Took over the backfield yesterday. They survived in a game against the Titans. Bills are up to a 4-point favorite, even 4.5 I saw in one place against the Texans on Thursday night. Watching Bet Sweats today. That's how I get a lot of my information about point spreads. Mm-hmm. Some of it is just like sort of I think of it and then I check my app. And some of it is from watching Sam and Joe. And Sam had a quote, the other side of this coin here with the Bills, that we definitely should have gotten to by now. He had a quote today that I made a note of here for our show. Quote, how many Super Bowl teams can't get stops? Sam Paniadovich, November 17th, 2025. Like, he's invested in the Bills. He tells us every Friday. Yep. Like, that's his Super Bowl bet. And their conversation about the Bills today was more like, huh, it's not the most confidence I've ever had in a team.
Yeah, no, I mean, so this came up yesterday, and I think I plainly said to a caller who asked, like, you know, this is not a Super Bowl winning defense right now. Like, they are not playing like a Super Bowl winning defense. You know, what can change? I don't really know. Like, the only reinforcement you're looking at this point is Ed Oliver, and that isn't, you know, until the playoffs and maybe even into the playoffs. And that's it. Like, as far as, right, the trade deadline's come and gone, and, you know, they grabbed a guy off waivers or whatever, off a practice squad, Fox. Maybe he plays some role, but, you know, there's not a difference maker rolling through the door at any point here. So they're going to have to figure out what they're doing with who they've got. And I think that gets trickier all the time. They got TJ Sanders, who hasn't really done much at all when he was healthy earlier in the season as a tackle, playing largely at defensive end yesterday. And, you know, that didn't seem to bear a lot of fruit as far as stopping the run goes anyway. So I think they're trying things. Dorian Williams, I think, did get some reps, as Eric Wood suggested, 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago when Hoyt first got hurt. That you know, maybe Dorian Williams can be someone to turn to in that kind of role. And I think he did a little of that yesterday. So they might be, at this point, I mean, they don't have a lot of time to just tinker. I mean, they got to win these games. But they are probably turning over every stone they can to try to find an in-house solution to a consistent problem, which is stopping the run. I mean, there are worse things to be bad at, I think, in the NFL. I would say being bad against the pass is one of them. But still, I mean, if a team can just do that to you repeatedly, I mean, you're gonna have a tough time.
I know. Yeah, almost everybody on the defense at one point or another yesterday was like, oh, no. Milano early in the game was like, oh, no, getting sort of walled off by a tackle. I mean, whatever, he had some good plays. Bernard is another one, like, oh.
That is not a healthy looking football player right now to me. Like, there was a bad moment for him chasing someone to the sideline that was just
Mayfield.
That was right. It was Mayfield. That's right. That was really tough to
Mayfield
watch.
Mayfield just blasted around him
on
the edge to the sideline.
And he just could not even close the gap on him.
Right.
He really is laboring, I think. He must be fighting through something.
We talked about Poyer on postgame. I mean, it's kind of incredible that he's on the field for them right now, but 15 tackles? You don't want that, but at least he did that.
Made them, yeah.
For you. Right. Other times, one of the Tucker touchdowns is like, goodbye.
Yep.
It's concerning, but then you get that kind of an Allen game and all is well. Well, on that side of the ball, at least, most fans have to feel a lot better, I think, knowing that that's still a club in the Bills' bag.
Yeah, encouraging was the word I used yesterday. What was yesterday? Encouraging. Because they found a way to do a thing that they have had a lot of trouble this year doing. When they have felt that, even in games where they haven't needed it, the passing game has looked just sort of sloppy and not in sync. And you think to yourself, man, when I need this, I'm not always going to get 7 yards on first down, like as a rule.
Funny thing.
And so, you know, running it, I mean. And so they're going to need it. And yesterday was really, I mean, they had a very good plan and an effective day moving the ball through the air against Kansas City. But I think yesterday was even different than that. Just because it was pushing it down the field. I mean, there's a rather long list for the Bills this year of guys who had 20-plus yard receptions in this game yesterday. And that has not been happening much at all.
Eric Wood and Sal Capaccio later on as we go through the day. Eric at 4 as usual. Maybe we'll hear from you next, 803-0550. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, Football Monday on WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
We're still waiting for C.J. Stroud to clear, and I think there's a real question as to whether he would go on Thursday night against Buffalo. I think there's a real possibility C.J. Stroud will miss his third straight game, and it'll be Davis Mills again on Thursday night.
Adam Schefter. Again, the Texans are supposed to practice today, and we'll find out if there's any sort of change on that front. Texans over the Titans in a close one yesterday. So Houston now is, I mean, they're 5-5.
Mm-hmm.
They're in it. Kansas City is 5-5. Baltimore is 5-5. All on the outside of the AFC playoff picture with seven teams at winning records, including Jacksonville, which buried the Chargers in the biggest blowout of the day yesterday. Classic Chargers. What a hilarious bit that they've been going with for decades. Whenever you think they might be good, this.
Or to Jacksonville, too.
I know. Just like.
not the Chiefs. Not, you know, Jacksonville.
Favored at Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Pretty bad. Football Monday on WGR. Eric Wood at 4. Sal at 4:30 today. The Sabres are home tonight to Edmonton. Pre-game at 6. Let's go to Rick here. Hi, Rick.
Hi, how you guys doing today?
Great. Thank you for calling.
I got a couple questions for you. You think Keon Coleman's on his way out of Buffalo?
Yes.
And he might be a bust. I don't want to prejudge him. And what did you guys think of Gabe Davis? I thought he looked pretty good yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, I think it worked. Davis, there's a comfort there. No accident right away in the game. Allen on a scramble finds Davis. Like they have an ability to work together in that way. So I don't think there's any reason to take him back out as long as he came through the game healthy. And yeah, I think Coleman is in real trouble. I'm sitting here today. I don't know about everyone's health. I think if they have enough people who played yesterday who are healthy, I don't think Coleman goes right back in. They may want to just sort of see if he gets the message or whatever, but I think to get to the point where you make him inactive, this has been bubbling around for long enough, and McDermott had enough, and they made a move. It doesn't mean he has to be gone forever, but unless he really does something dramatic to change their view of him right now, which to me is, we don't trust you. I mean, you hear Deion Dawkins talking after the game yesterday Those are big, tough words. Time to grow up is basically what Dawkins said. I mean, he said it in a kinder voice than I just used, but the message matters here. So if he doesn't, it sounds to me like he's got work to do to earn their trust back, to get in the lineup, to then let alone be trusted to make plays. So I think, yes, we could be overreacting, but I'd been hearing for a while that they were really frustrated with him because of his lack of attention to details and being where he's supposed to be when he's supposed to be there. So I think his spot on this roster is in peril. Yes.
I wouldn't say different, but, you know, thinking about the Davis side of that and Mecole Hardman, I'm not going to sound as enthusiastic as your friends maybe necessarily about this, because this is not trading for Jaylen Waddle. Like, this is diving into waivers and your practice squad. And, you know, if Davis pushes all the right buttons, chemistry and, you know, professional, all the kinds of things that we liked about Davis when he was here, then great. But I'm not ready to assume it's going to dramatically change their passing game or their offense just because he isn't Coleman. But yesterday was a very good day for them, and Davis was a part of that. Somebody had him for first touchdown and kind of went off his hands.
That's really too bad. Yeah.
Thank you. Appreciate
that's
the
close
the sentiment.
Close call there. Yeah.
20 for 560.
Yeah, it would have been nice.
Would have been nice.
That's a nice hit.
Plus 20.
and I mean,
it wasn't.
It was very close. Yeah, he's never been my favorite, but I think it's important to remember, or maybe even, I don't know, for what it matters to people out there, where we stood on Davis. Like, I mostly just never wanted to pay him a second contract. I didn't think that was going to be a good idea. And I think it did not go well in Jacksonville with him getting big money. But him being on the roster never was a huge problem to me. I just didn't want to pay him. When it was time to pay him, to me, that was time to walk away. And so I supported that decision. Him back now, like, I'm also not expecting him to elevate the Bills' passing game through the roof. He was never, you know, he's had his big days and big plays here. But he was never that guy to me that was going to, like, push this passing game to, you know, just unforeseen heights or something. But in a role, I think he has a place. And I do think the trust factor is a big deal. Like, he'll you know, just wait. If he plays regularly, he'll drop the ball. Like, that happened. It happened when he was here the first time. But he's going to show up. He's going to be where he's supposed to be. And the quarterback believes in him to get open when he is running around off script. And so he will look for him and find him. And I don't think Allen has that kind of faith in Coleman at all. I think Allen starts running around and Coleman is just a sinkhole to him. So there's value in that. I mean, again, I don't want to live off script, but that's a part of the chaos. That's a part of what yesterday was. Off script worked for you well enough.
You know what else was interesting about their putting up that game? Allen's over 300, 3 passing touchdowns, 44 points, no Kincaid, no Coleman. What was Shakir? 1 for -3. And sample size. But Shakir has been a part of the problem for me, imagining the Bills evolving into the passing offense we all dream about, because he's on the field a lot. He runs many more. Yesterday, even, it was 68% of the routes. I mean, more than 2 out of 3. And he had 1 catch for negative yardage. He's blocking other possibilities in his role, just as Kincaid is, and Coleman by his draft status kind of was. So if you're willing, and this is not to say that Shakir rather will be reduced necessarily, but if you're willing to swallow hard and kind of forget about who everybody was, what you're paying everybody, just sort of like, all right, what's our best recipe right now, then maybe all these guys get to different degrees, not a demotion, but have a lesser role in terms of targets. Like, I don't know, maybe Shavers ends up being somebody that gives you a big play element more than just like once a year, you know? Does Davis get targets? They're throwing to the running backs again yesterday after doing that in Miami, I think somewhat out of desperation in Miami. And then you have Palmer, and that didn't really hit yesterday, but I think he's important to them.
Yeah. I think if Coleman weren't, if he didn't represent what he represents, I think he would have been on the bench sooner. But they I think, would be, there's two things you might be trying to accomplish here. You know, ideally, he becomes a productive, helpful member of your receiving core. So you want to keep playing him. You also want to keep playing him so as to not crater whatever he's worth. Because at least if he's on the field and playing but not producing, teams could, like, well, you know, the situation, he didn't have chemistry with the quarterback, not a scheme fit, we'll use him in the slot, whatever. Some team out there that liked him just fine in the draft process could still maybe, you know, you maintain his value and maybe you can do some business in the offseason. You pull him out of the lineup, and this is important to remember moving forward about when and if he returns to the lineup, because they do have a business to run. Yes, they want to win games and put their best guys on the field, but they also, I think, if they have reached a point of no return with him, I think still would want to recoup something. I mean, he was the first pick of the second round. So I think he'll play again. I just don't think it'll be on a short week coming off of that game.
Mm-hmm. And there usually are injuries, too, to have to deal with.
Might already be one with Hardman.
Hardman. Just kind of surreal. It's just weird that we're at a point right now that we're talking about Hardman perhaps in the past tense off an injury or the fumble or just, wait, when did you get here? Oh, you're gone?
Just right, like, right.
I mean, he's not gone, but just moves. It moves like it moves. Here's Jordan next. Hi, Jordan.
Hey, Shelby, Bulldog. Happy Bills, Victory Monday. How we doing, fellas?
Great. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, man, no problem. Just real quick on Gabe. You know, it's funny you guys are just talking about the past, right? Happy that Gabe is back with us. I feel like that guy is hungry as ever. Granted, you know, we're the team that drafted him. He's the guy that we took a leap on him. What was it, round five a couple years back? But, you know, we're literally all he knows. I mean, the poor guy got hurt in Jacksonville, whatnot. But I feel like that guy is happy to be back home. He's comfortable. And I feel like the best thing for Josh right now is comfort, right? Going back to the guys he's used to, throwing it, you know, hoping the guys are there in the spot they're supposed to be. I just feel like that everything with Keon's been a little bit of a question mark. Granted, you know, we took him in the first or second round, and, you know, we'll see what he can do. I feel for the guy, but he's got to figure it out himself. And why not give it to Gabe? If he's hungry and ready to go, let him do it. Let him do his thing. And I think he's going to be a great first down the road. You know, he's big game Gabe for a reason, and I got a good feeling about it. So I'll hang out with you guys chit-chat about it. But I think he's where he needs to be right now.
Okay. I guess we'll find out. Thanks, Jordan. Eric Wood coming up at 4.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Your boy, Michael Penix, is hurt.
Yeah. That hasn't gone well, no. At least it's not the knee that he hurt twice in his six-year college career.
I guess that's good.
Is that a silver lining? I don't even know. It's a lining.
You know, it's really not fair. Maybe it is. You have, in the draft, a trade that most of the people, at least in my world, the people I respect their analysis when it comes to the draft. I'm not talking about people that say, oh, you can't grade the draft for 3 years. Well, what's the point of doing it in 3 years? You're not supposed to know the future. It's about process and draft value and like knowing what to do and what's ridiculous. Houston made a trade with Arizona. Wasn't it Arizona?
Mm-hmm.
To get up for Will Anderson when they drafted Stroud. And they won their division. They were not predicted to, but they won their division. And Stroud might have been the offensive rookie of the year. And Anderson, I don't know if he was defensive rookie of the year, but he was really good.
He was in the running, yeah.
And they have this like unforeseen good season. You don't hear a lot about this trade that was pretty bad math by the Texans to do that for a defensive player. However, Atlanta, not as high rent, but does almost the same thing with the Rams in this draft. And here they are at 3-7, and the quarterback's out, and maybe London's going to be out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a disaster of a season. Nobody's even really that good there. The Bills win is their one good game. Yeah. Miami blows them out at home. 3-7, and they're down their guys. Maybe they pack it in, and you look at the draft order, and the Rams have their pick.
Yeah.
And right now it's eighth. Because you had to have that second edge rusher in the first round.
And the Rams
round.
Are every bit of the Super Bowl contender. Whatever. They're among the most elite teams in the league this year.
It takes a lot of the fun out of the conversation about the Falcons. You know, like, well, should they just tank it and get a top five pick? But they won't get it. They won't get the pick.
Right.
Because the Rams have the picks. So they have no incentive. You could like this. We don't want to see teams try to lose, generally, but they have no incentive to lose games because of the fact that they made that trade. So when it's like this, a lot of my Twitter is, hey, everybody remember this? The Falcons traded away that pick?
Yeah, in fact, the incentive would be to avoid having as good a pick as, right? They're going to be the opposite. They're going to be going hard in week 16, 17, and 18 trying to avoid having a top 10 pick.
Because of how it looks?
Yeah.
Because they'll still have, I mean, it's going to be higher picks in other rounds.
Right, it's going to be the Rams pick no matter what, but if it's 15th, you know, that looks a little better on you. But if like the draft starts and the Rams are like on the screen already, you just sit down with your bowl of chips to watch the draft, like, oh, the Rams are on the clock? What?
Didn't they just win?
Right. Didn't they win 13 games?
Yeah, Atlanta, not good. Eric Wood coming up at 4 here on WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.